What does the Apostle Paul mean when he says that Christians are not under the law? This is Carl Kosar from Walla Walla University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue our series of Bible lessons based on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help us explore this important topic, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl and Dr. Dave Thomas, who are professors here in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. Today we come to a rather difficult passage. Again, Paul's issue of the law in the book of Galatians. And I want to read the passage just to kind of give us our bearing. It's Galatians chapter 3, verse 23. And there, my version, the English Standard Version, says this: "Now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are the sons of God through faith." So here we're confronted again with the issue of the law, and it seems in this case, at least for the way many people understand this passage, that the law is seen as something that is almost entirely negative, at least the role of the law. I mean, if you look at the terminology here, it says, before faith comes, we're held captive.
Yeah. I mean, prisoners, my version says.
Yeah, so, yeah, prisoners. In fact,
negative.
I've done a study of several versions, and we have stuff like held prisoners, locked up, or put in charge, imprisoned, the law is a disciplinarian. I mean, these are not the most positive terms. So how can we say that the law is something positive here when, according to these translations, it sounds like it's pretty negative? Well, I think one thing we can do to look at that maybe helps us with this is to look at Paul's original terminology. And in this case, the terms that Paul uses is this word that's kept. He uses it in verse 23 that we were kept or we were guarded under the law. And in both where this word is used elsewhere in Scripture, it actually has more of a positive connotation associated with it. Sure, it can have negative connotations, but it talks about kept meaning being protected or watched over in places like Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. So the terminology itself really is more ambiguous, and it can be either positive or negative. So what are we to make when Paul says that as Christians, we are no longer under the law? Is the law negative? Is it positive? What can we say?
Well, it couldn't be entirely negative, because we've just read a few verses prior to this that the law was put into effect through angels. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sound like it should be something merely negative. Mm-hmm. So already leading up to it, we have in the text indications that this wouldn't have to be exclusively a negative.
And it's surprising because some in the history of Christianity, some people miss this point entirely. We think back of Marcion, an early Christian living in the second century, who came to believe that the law itself was evil. In fact, that the Old Testament was entirely evil. This is a form of Gnosticism, that the God of the Old Testament was an evil God, and that the law was given to really punish the Jews. Mm. And so you kind of get this idea that in the New Testament, we escape now from the law. Praise God, the law is gone. But that seems to run contrary to what Paul has been talking about previously.
Right.
But I mean, there are places in the Old Testament, like in the Psalms, where the law of God is extolled as being something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Upbuilding, you know, honey, nourishment to the bones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to see it only in negative terms. And I don't know, maybe we're like school children who need boundaries to the playground. Mm. Or maybe you even push that a little further. We're toddlers, and our celestial parent puts us in a playpen and says, that's where you have to play. I think all of us would agree the provisions of the law, if they are realized in a person's life, are beneficial. I mean, how many of us would like to live where the Ten Commandments were never broken?
Boundaries are a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, how would you like to live where none of them were respected? I mean, there's thieving and murder and mayhem. I mean, that's the so the I think what Paul is talking here is the condemnation of the law is what we're not under.
It's interesting because you point out, you made reference to school children. And that's, an excellent point, because that's exactly the point that Paul's trying to make here. It's this word he uses that's translated, the law was our guardian in my translation. Other versions perhaps will say stuff like, the law was our tutor or schoolmaster or disciplinarian. But the word itself is an interesting word. It's pedagogos, and it refers to a slave in antiquity that was a master of a Roman home would appoint this slave to be in charge of his children. And this slave had all kinds of responsibilities, everything from being a nanny to a disciplinarian to being a source of protection for that child.
And teacher, too.
And teacher. I mean, so it was your big brother, your dad, your mom, your nanny, all wrapped up into
your
one.
Policeman.
And people had different experiences in relation to their pedagogos. And I found a couple interesting statements made in antiquity, but here's one I like. It says, for the pedagogos, they are guards of the blossoming youth. They are keepers. They are a fortified wall. They drive out the undesirable lovers, thrusting them away and keeping them out, not allowing them to fraternize with the boys. They beat off the lovers' assaults, becoming like barking dogs to wolves. So in an age when children were preyed upon by pedophiles, we could say that the pedagogos was really a very positive thing. But of course, you can also imagine that there were some others who didn't have quite that positive idea, because here's one early Roman poet, Martial, who says about his pedagogos, he says, "You ban fun. You bar girls. You won't allow me any liberties." kind of a love-hate relationship, I guess, on the part of some.
Well, did you have a good first grade teacher or a bad first grade teacher? It depends partly on your teacher and partly on you, too, I suppose.
Yes, sure. And how you conducted yourself.
That's right. That's right.
And what you expected.
So is the law positive or negative?
Yes.
Well,
I think yes becomes the answer, right? Yeah.
There are times where it might be difficult for me because it goes against what I would really like to do. But ultimately, I have to say it's a positive thing.
Yeah.
The instruction, the guidelines that God gives to us are good.
It says here that before faith came, in fact, in the Greek it is before the faith came, and the context seems to imply that it's primarily referring to that before Christ, the one who really is the source of our faith, before he came, we were placed under the law. And so I think you're saying in a sense that God protected his children by placing them under the law. But if that's the case, then what do we do with that phrase that now that Christ has come, we're no longer under the guardian? Do we just say, no laws today? How do we? We kind of mentioned this a little earlier, but I want to kind of highlight this point in more detail.
Maybe
now.
Following through with what you just said, we have the law which guides, protects, and even disciplines in a sense. But when the faith comes, when Christ comes, we have, I think, a fuller revelation of the kind of life that we ought to live. So there's a sense in which following the example of Jesus is a better thing for us than trying to follow the letter of a legal code somehow. The person of Jesus is better for us to follow than merely words.
And it's
of
not
law.
You're not saying that this puts the two in conflict in any way.
Not
no,
at all.
Because that doesn't suggest that the provisions of the law are bad. It's merely that there's a better way.
We see in Jesus the perfect example of one who lives out the principles of the law.
See, so are we going to be driven in society by our own sense of conscience or by cops? Both of them can maintain civility.
They can.
But being constrained by your conscience is a lot more pleasant than having the cop show up.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very good point to make as well. So in this case, I think what we're saying here is that, once again, it depends on your perspective. Both are necessary. Both are needed. But in the end, I think it makes you think back of your comments, maybe think of Jesus' message on the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, you've heard it said,
Yeah.
That thou shalt not commit adultery.
Right. Here's the letter of the law. But what Jesus provides for us is something something deeper than that, the spirit of the law.
It reaches us full sense in who Jesus is.
It does concern me when people want to talk about the law being done away with, because do we really mean that? So that the murder and adultery and theft and you know, insolence, these are now okay? Mm. I mean,
to me, that runs contrary to all that Paul does. I mean, I think in Romans chapter 6 where Paul says, we're not under the law, but under grace.
Yeah.
He goes on in that the very next few verses to talk about that we can either be slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness. So it's not a kind of a freedom that says, do whatever you want, but it's a call to live the kind of life that God really intended for us to live in the first place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where any law itself, just as legal code, will never really show you the fullness of the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
We only see that in a person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, of course, in Jesus, we see the highest sense of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great if everybody if you abide by the speed limit, you never know the sting of the law. It's just...
And that's a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, also, that ticket is quite a good thing to have for your kids. Because, you know, it's there to protect them, right?
Yeah,
so they realize
true.
They don't need to travel that fast.
The law is good. I want to say that again. The law is good.
It is a blessing, but praise God that Christ in his fullness shows us what the law is about. Well, again, thank you, Dave and Paul. Although Paul's argument in today's passage is complicated, his point is simple. The law is not at odds with God's promise to Abraham, nor does it offer an alternative way of achieving salvation. On the contrary, although the promise and the law have different roles and functions, they both play an important part in God's overall plan of salvation, and by spiritual application, to our own life experiences as well. It is grateful as we should be for the law, we should be far more grateful for the one event that forever changed the course of human history, and that's the birth of Jesus. Well, as we continue to consider Paul's letter to the Galatians this quarter, we have a very special offer to you, our listener. It's a brand new book I've written entitled Galatians, a Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, particularly for the study on Galatians. Each chapter is full of spiritual insights and stories that really help to explain Paul's letter in more detail and to show its relevance for us today. We've got to send you a copy this week. We're simply asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth your time and a benefit to you and also to help support the radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. The number again is 509-527-2194, or go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword, or send us an email at goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request this book. Remember, our past and present programs are available to download or for listening online. You can learn more about that at our webpage, wallawalla.edu/goodword. Thank you again for listening to today's program, and please join us again next week as we continue to explore Galatians and the difference God wants it to make in our lives. Until then, for Good Word, I'm Carl Cosart.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.